Hey everyone, welcome to an all new Dove Stock presented by Wendy's. Wendy's doesn't just have breakfast as a breakfast worth talking about. Don't let your friends miss out. I'm Grant Lifman alongside, as always, Kendra Andrews. And this is not only just a really great one because we have a very special guest, gets to talk with Darrell Wright very shortly, but I'm going to be honest, we've had some really big name guests on here. We've had Steve Kerr, Joe Lacob, Draymond Green, and they've been so insightful and great. This might be the funniest pod by far. This interview is hilarious, and this is a true story. A good friend of mine used to play in the NBA. He's now in the front office for the Atlanta Hawks. His name's Landry Fields, and he played on the New York Knicks. This is now, a decade ago? And he always told me that the funniest teammate he ever had was Baron Davis. And I was like, oh, I believe it, but I hadn't really seen it. And then just this interview with Darrell is just fantastic. So Kendra, we are just the opening act, and people are just waiting to get to the interview.
Definitely. Awesome. I mean, I remember watching Baron Davis growing up here in Oakland during the We Believe Warriors era. And, he was just exudes what this team is and was and continues to be. So, everyone loves Baron.
Yeah, you can't not like Baron. And and don't forget, and they talk about it in the interview, but the GM of the team that acquired Baron Davis was Chris Mullin, our partner over at NBC Sports Bay Area now. And it was the most lopsided trade, I believe, that I've ever seen. And I remember it specifically, even at the time, being like, I can't believe this just happened. The Warriors sending Dale Davis and Speedy Claxton just for Baron Davis. No picks exchange, nothing. It was just the most ridiculous trade. And then the Warriors get an all-star, and he didn't actually make an all-star team, I don't think, with the Warriors. But they got a former all-star, and it was crazy. But before we get over to interview, let's talk about the Warriors here for a second. They obviously have been struggling, right? And people are looking at the buyout market saying, well, this is your chance to upgrade. But there's a problem right now. There's two competing issues happening here. One, they're struggling and use veteran help to come in and win now, Kendra. But that playing time, those spots are being dedicated to younger players who are trying to develop. Thus, it's hard to find the right balance.
The Warriors are in such, and I feel like I sound like a broken record because I don't know how many times I've said this, you've said this, because we continue to talk about it, but it's just the facts that the Warriors are in a very precarious position this year of exactly that, wanting to win now and developing for the future. And, we spoke with Bob Myers a couple of days ago, and he said the same thing of we're in this really weird gray area and we're trying to figure out how to navigate this. And I asked him, what are your plans for those two open roster spots? Could you see converting Juan Toscano-Anderson or Nico Mannion from their two-way? Could you see bringing Jessup over from Australia and having him fill up? Could you see looking at buyout candidates? And he said, those are all possibilities that we're looking at right now because they're all valid. They're all valid players and reasons to go either way. And, you're completely right, Grant. It's if they sign a veteran, even if it's on a lower contract, well, that veteran is probably going to be used to playing a decent amount and would help this team win now. But whose minutes would he be taking? And it won't be Steph Curry's minutes, of course. Won't be Draymond Green's minutes. Not going to be Kelly Oubre's or Andrew Wiggins. It will be one of those younger players, whether it's Jordan Poole or James Wiseman or Eric Pascal, no matter what position it is, it will be eating up those younger player minutes. And that's something that the Warriors are going to have to decide if it's worth it to stunt their development in order to get out of whatever funk they're in now and win now.
Absolutely. No, everything you're saying. When Warriors fans are watching their Twitter feed or whatever, and they see Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, the Nets. They have Drummond going to the Lakers. They have Rivers going to the Bucks. And these names are flying off the boards as you're like, ooh, that could help. But again, the problem is not only do the Warriors, would they have to, decide to concede some playing time to these young guys, but I don't know if any of these players would want to come to the Warriors for two things. Number one, obviously these other teams are title contenders right now, but also they know they're going to have playing time in certain ways. Aldridge and these guys, you know, Aldridge or a center like Drummond, they would have to technically play behind James Wiseman if they're trying to develop him, right? So there's just, there's contradicting situations happening right now. And I can see it being frustrating for all parties, the front office, the players, the coaches, and then Warriors fans. Warriors fans are like, well, I want to win, you know, that we should be winning, but at the same time, we're trying to develop young guys. So it's an interesting situation. It really is. But at the same time, you know, I think when everyone kind of goes back and becomes reasonable and rational and logical, the perfect situation would be developing the young guys and them getting better throughout the rest of this season to push them towards the playoffs.
And having development projects isn't something that Warriors fans are used to, especially Warriors fans that became fans during that, you know, championship.
Uh-oh. Run. You're calling them out. Yeah. You're calling out bandwagon fans.
I mean, yeah, because they're just not you. I mean, and it's fair to, when you're not used to that, being frustrated of, well, why aren't we winning now? Steph's in his prime. Why isn't the team making the moves to hypothetically allow Steph to flourish when he's hitting his prime? And, you know, it is just a thing of it. It is going to take a second. And just because James Wiseman isn't being the, you know, number one rookie or the top rookie so far, you kind of have to just take a step back and look at the big picture of things and just, you know, take a second and understand that this isn't it for James Wiseman. This is not what you are just going to have with him for the rest of his career. And I think that's a difficult thing to swallow. And again, Bob Myers admitted that too. He said, you know, even for us, being patient is really hard because we haven't had to be patient for talent to develop, but it's worth it. It will be worth it, they believe, in the long run. And that's why Steve Kerr said that he's going to be starting James Wiseman for the rest of the season. That's why Steve Kerr has been playing Jordan Poole and Nico Mannion more and allowing them to start while Steph Curry is out. And even when he's playing, you know, having increased minutes, is because they do believe that once they work out these kinks, they'll be able to, you know, maybe not be the complete level of what they were before, but a little bit more reminiscent of that.
Well, we'll watch what they do, and we really will get to judge based on how the rest of the season goes and how the future goes. You know, there'll be markers along the way to be like, looking back, let's see how this turned out. So it'll be very interesting. But without further ado, let's get over to this Baron Davis interview. And I'm telling you, it's fun. I hope I didn't build it up too much, but no, it's hilarious. Darrell, as always, does a very good job. So thank you, as always, for joining us. This is the Wendy's Dubs Talk, and here they are.
Welcome to the Right Corner. And today I got a very special guest, my big bro, a LA legend, a Warriors legend, BD, aka Boom Dizzle, aka Diddy Bop, Baron Davis. What's good, bro?
What's up, my dog? What's happening? What's up, bro? I see you. You're prime time now.
Hey man, they done gave me a little segment, bro. So you know,
as just, they should.
I appreciate you coming on, and I want to start this first question off. Can you say that you have the best dunk in Warriors history?
I would say it probably like one of the most memorable ones, you know, Chris Webber, you know, Jason Richardson had some crazy dunks. I would say the dunk I had was probably like the most memorable, right? Because it was playoffs, you know, just a lot of emotions like that, but it was fun.
That's what's up. Those We Believe Warrior teams were great to watch. What made those teams fun to watch?
Yeah, we was just like, we were different. Like, so in at that point in time, you know, when we were, you know, before the We Believe, it was just like, we were just trying to win basketball games. Once we kind of had this identity, we were going in to win basketball games, and it was like a style. So what made it so fun was like we had a style that nobody could, if they tried to play our style, they would lose. Right. You know what I mean? And so we had like a unique feel because it was, people kept saying we were playing street ball, but it was weird because like we were averaging over 20 something assists a game. You know what I mean? And like all the passes and the, you know, everything we were doing were basketball plays, but people liking that, you know, the street ball because like our style, you know, we was just like making it look so easy.
Right. No, 100%. And just the small ball. I used to watch y'all as soon as we were done in Miami, you know, being in Miami and being, you guys been on the West Coast, I used to sprint to the TV to watch you guys. So I knew it was going to be super exciting. I felt like in Oracle, it was always, the stage was set with the bright lights on the court and you guys just be out there hooping. Would you say you played your best basketball as a Warrior in your career?
I would say some of my best basketball, not all my best basketball. You know, I was an all-star in Charlotte when we were in the Hornets. I should have been an all-star when – I think I was an all-star when we were in New Orleans too. Mm-hmm. So it was the two times I was. I don't think I was an all-star with Golden State, even though I feel like, you know, I kind of got jugged on that. But, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, man, I would say that We Believe year was probably one of my better years. And then even the next year, when I think I averaged like 23-8 or something like that. But, you know, I just, it was something about the Bay. You know, I wish I never left, you know what I mean? But I felt like I had to leave at the time, you know what I mean? Just to make it better for other people. You know what I'm saying?
I would personally say that you kind of turned the Bay up as far as when it comes to celebrities coming to the games. Like, you didn't see any of that until you were here, in my opinion. And I'm pretty sure a lot of people would say that as well. So what was that connection? I know you were an LA legend, you know, UCLA, Crossroads, you know so many people, bro. And it's crazy. So like, how was you getting these type of guys come down to the Bay, which isn't like one of those scenes like New York? How was you getting guys to come down?
I was like, yo, bro, you got a day off. Like, one, you know, people start wanting to see us play. And so I was like, yo, you got to come out here. It's a different vibe than LA. You know what I mean? You can actually like chill, you know, people ain't like starstruck all in your business. And then on top of that, I think, you know, the draw of Silicon Valley, like what people saw that I was doing, especially celebrities off the court, they're like, yo, what you up there doing? What you investing in? And so that kind of like started this migration of like, oh, let's go up to, you know, Silicon Valley, have these meetings, and then let's go to the game. And so the Warrior game became like sitting front row or sitting in the first couple rows of the Warrior game became like the Silicon Beach version of what, you know, sitting at a Laker game would be, you know, in LA.
Right. And man, I definitely gotta ask you about my colleague, you know, somebody that's another legend, a Warriors legend.
He ain't no legend. What you talking about?
I'm talking about Mully, Chris Mullin.
Oh, Chris Mullin. I thought you were talking about Azubuki. I thought you were talking about Azubuki. Oh, yeah, for sure. Mully. Mully is definitely. I thought you were talking about Azubuki. I was like, no. Man, you better not call Azubuki no legend. He probably a legend announcer. He ain't even that yet. Azubuki was my rookie.
Hey, we got to run that. Buki is my guy, though. He is and that is hilarious. He's on his way to being a legend analyst, too, bro. That is hilarious. But I'm talking about Chris Mullin, man. This is one of the funniest. I never knew how funny Mully was. You know, I knew he was one of those New York guys. But, like, what were some of your memories with Mully being the GM and your spending time here with him with the Dubs?
Well, I say for Mully, like, Mully always had my back from the time I got there. He fought for me to get there. He fought for me to get, you know, other guys around to play with. And he fought to keep me there. I think Mully was unfairly treated while he was there. You know, as far as, like, the crazy thing about that squad, bro, is that Chris Mullin, Rod Higgins, Mitch Richmond walking in that gym, bro. Mm. You dig what I'm saying? they walking in that gym, it gave you a feeling. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It gave you like, yo, it's legacy. You know what I mean? And that's what I was telling them dudes. And like, Mully was a great GM. He, you know, like them dudes was cool.
Yeah.
That's what you want. You don't want the GM coming in like this, standing over, analyzing, yeah, whispering to the coach, why are you practicing this? Now, nobody want that, man. You know what I mean? Like, and if you can't hoop or never hoop and can't get down, then you don't even need to be in the gym, bro. You know what I'm saying? And that's a big reason why a lot of these teams suck. You know what I mean? Is because, you know, they allow people in the gym that shouldn't be in the gym. Now, if you're smart enough to be, you know, a stats guy, an analytics guy, well, none of that matter when you're practicing anyway. So get out the gym. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I think that the good thing about Mully, he was so relatable, and he knew we needed a style. He knew we needed a personality, and he knew what Oakland was. You know what I mean? He knew what the Bay was. And, you know, I got nothing but the utmost respect for Chris Mullin because he looked out for me. You know what I mean? And even, you know, in my contract negotiations with the Warriors, you know, he was the only person fighting for me to stay. You know what I mean? And like making a case to stay when it was a lot of like, you know, hate from the owner. And I think his name is Bobby Rowell or somebody. Like they was just trying to devalue everything that I did and brought to the organization, and Mully wouldn't letting them have it. And it was just good to, like, you know, for one time in your career to feel like somebody had your back, but because you could relate, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, big up to Mully. Even in that We Believe, crazy, in that We Believe moment, I was hurt. So I hurt my knee, dog. I had knee surgery. People don't remember this. And so I was out for like 3 weeks anyway. And Mully came down to LA and he was like, yo, bro, we just need you back. And I was like, what do you need? He was like, man, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. He was like, I'll work out with you. I was like, you'll work out with me? He was like, yeah. So me, Mully, and Mitch Richmond, when I got out of my surgery, when I first started to like do court work, those were the dudes that was working me out.
That's crazy. That's
why I was, hey, dog, I was juiced, because imagine working out with Mully and Mitch, and then after that, you talking to them about their legacy and what they was doing. I was like, damn, dog, I gotta get back on the court. We gotta get to the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a dope story, man. And like I said, Mully is a solid dude. Mitch, I've been knowing for a long time, both solid dudes. That's dope to hear. You threw that lob to Blake Griffin in All-Star Weekend 2010. Who came up with the idea, and how many times did it take for you guys to practice that? Or did you guys even get a chance to practice with a car?
Yeah, we did, actually. So I think it was Kenny Smith's idea. And, you know, Kenny Smith was like, yo, we're going to bring the crowd in, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I said, dog, dude, you going to take 30 minutes to do a damn dunk? Like, and, you know, he was like, we're going to sing I Believe I Can Fly, and Blake going to come in, and then we're going to pull a car. And I was like, hey, bro, just pull a car. And just the excitement alone of the car being pulled on the court and him jumping over the car was going to be cool. So the night before, you know, because you got to think, like, those cars, you can't like start them or not. You know what I mean? So they had to figure out how to push it, how to get the, and like, that was a whole thing. Cause like, you can't just drive a car. You know what I mean? Like, you ain't got no room. You can't just drive it on. You can't drive it on and then back up. Because it's time going. So, you know, I had to step in and just be like, yo, bro, this ain't gonna work. Let's just pull the car in. I'll be inside the car. I throw the ball through the roof. You know what I mean? And it'll happen so fast that, like, you're in the moment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I was like, yeah, man. I just throw it out the roof. So in practice, we doing it. But, dog, he jumping over the big part of the car. So he just... I'm throwing it out the roof. He like, ew, bow. He killing it. So I'm like, all right, we good. We don't need nothing else. So when we get to the thing, they pull it, they park it, you know, in the front. But before they went out, they was like, hey, man, you know, you make sure you keep your head in until after the dunk. And I was like, what? They was like, you make sure you keep your head in. I was like, hey, bro, first of all, don't talk to me like that. You know what I mean? Second of all, you know what I mean? Like, when I was sitting in the car, and I, you know, because I had to sit in the car and throw the ball up through the sunroof, right? And
right.
I'm not a bad passer. I'm actually a pretty good passer, but that's difficult. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I was just like, man, I don't want him to have to do a second attempt. And so that's why when I leaned up, I just threw the ball up so he can catch it and dunk. But it was also the people at Kia was like, yo, don't stick your head out the window. You know what I mean? Because you're shooting a commercial. I said, okay, I know what that means. Y'all not trying to get me in the commercial.
Right.
Oh, did he make it? Your boy had to get his groundhog on. I was like, okay. Right on time.
Oh,
hey, bro, I needed that. And then they're gonna pay me with a Kia. I'm like, bro, I'm like rolling around the Kia. I gave that to my niece. Like, give me three of them, at least three or four.
That is hilarious, man.
Yes. Kia with all of them. Yeah. I can't say shout out to Kia because they only gave me two cards and no bread.
Hey, we need that bag, Kia, man. Drop the duffel off, bro.
Hey, Kia, man. Y'all been running that commercial. I ain't seen a residual yet.
Earlier this season, Steph imitated your reaction to the dunk over Karolinko. How big of a fan are you of his?
Huge. I mean, a huge fan. I never forget when it was the lockout and we had the little game up north.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I remember Nelly. I remember even that year watching him in college and was like, yo, bro, if this dude gets to the right system, if he gets a Nelly type system, this dude can go, because people was hating on him in college. And so for me, like, I've always been a huge Steph Curry fan. One, because point guard for the Warriors. You know what I mean? And it was like, yo, what better person to have? Like, you know what I mean? To take over and, like, take it to a whole nother level. But I just think, you know, for what he stands for the league, you know what I mean? And, like, his personality, he's a real dude, and he's a really, really, really good basketball player. You know what I mean? And he humble about it, you know, and that's not, you know, you don't get a lot of original humbleness from people. You know what I mean? Like, dudes be faking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of superstars just be faking for the camera, faking for the sponsors, but I just like how he do it holistically, man, and just everything that he doing. So when he shouted me out with that, you know, and Steph always shout me out. So, you know, big ups to him for just like keeping me alive in Warrior history. You know what I mean? Because if he say it, it's going to go. So, you know, I'm just a big fan of his. He's one of my favorite point guards of all time. You know, he definitely in my top five all time. We'd be arguing all day. And I'm just happy for his success. I still think I can beat him one-on-one, though. Don't get it twisted.
That'd be a fire one-on-one, too, because y'all got all that junk in y'all game, for sure.
Man, if I could play Steph one-on-one for a 10-day.
Good luck.
He probably at home like, man, shut up. I ain't playing a one-on-one. Hey, you know when the homie be like, yo, man, I'll play you one-on-one. Give me a spot on the team. It's like, bro, don't work like that.
Hey, and I thought what he did when he wore your jersey those final games at Oracle was.
Yeah, that was sick, dog. That was like, yeah, that was a moment. I still got the little Instagram photo. I went and copied that up. Well, maybe the Warriors will send that to me, but that I got that copied and hanging up, man. That meant a lot. I think it meant a lot to the fans, too, to see them dudes just paying homage. And, you know, for them to pay homage to us, and we ain't even win, you know what I mean? So it was like, it's crazy. It's just crazy, you know, just the impact. And, you know, it's just the love that those dudes show. It was like, still make me feel a part of the Warriors. So when they always say when the Warriors win, I feel like I won a championship.
That's killer. So what's your favorite moment at Oracle?
Man. I would say my favorite moment at Oracle was game three.
Mm.
Running out in game three, bro. Because you got to think, we hadn't been to the playoffs, right? Some of us had played in the playoffs. I played in the playoffs. You know what I mean? But like Oakland hadn't had a playoff game. And so we had lost game two, and all we didn't even get on the bus. It took us 2 hours to get on the bus after the game. They thought we was trying to intimidate the Dallas players, because you know in Dallas you see, the bus is in the tunnel.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So we was all hovering next to the bus, like in a group, and you know the Dallas people got to pull out. You know what I mean? They got to drive their car up that ramp. So dog, the whole crew, we just sitting outside the bus. And like, you know, it's rumblings going back and forth. And they're like, oh, the Warrior players, they mad, they lost. They don't want to let them out. No, we was just talking to Jay Rich, like, yo, bro, you have never been in a playoff game. Don Julio, we call him the Don. Don Julio,
yeah,
you're going to go for 40. I kept telling him, I said, bro, I guarantee you're going to have 40, bro. Guarantee. And then Steven Jackson was like, yo, wait till we get to Oracle. So we was just outside. And they have to go get Mully. Ask Mully about it. They have to go get Mully. It's like, yo, man, get your guys on the bus. They trying to intimidate. It was like, man, we going to whoop y'all ass anyway when y'all get to Oracle, because we don't even know what's happening. So when we ran out, dog, it was almost like a movie ending. Right? Like, it didn't even matter. It's like, dog, we did, like, we made it there. Like, all these people, like, just and that night was just like, ooh, we turned it up. And so I would say that was probably one of my favorite moments at Oracle Arena. Okay. And then game six when we beat Dallas, that was pretty huge.
Heck yeah. Okay. Top five point guards of all time.
Isaiah Thomas, Magic Johnson, Steph Curry, John Stockton, and Jason Kidd.
Ooh, that's fire. Who is your favorite player to watch right now?
I mean, Steph, James Harden. I love his get down. LaMelo Ball, love his get down. Of course, I'm still a Laker fan. Who else do I like how they get down? Ja Morant.
Oh, yeah.
Like his get down. Dame Lillard for sure. I'm tapping in with Dame playing for sure.
Okay. Last question. And I'm not trying to start nothing. All right. So I'm just letting that know now. So We Believe versus the 2016-17 Dubs. Best of seven. What's the results?
It's going to go seven.
Ooh, okay.
I would say their advantage, right, is they just had a better better team defensive scheme.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But I think their problem on offense, which is like they never had any problems, like we switching everything. You know what I mean? And so if we switch in everything, that means they got to play a lot of one-on-one basketball. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only thing, like, you know, you got Steph, you got Clay. Is KD on that team?
KD on that team.
We're going to have some problems. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. They got some firepower. We ain't going to fold, though. You know what I mean? The thing is, like – The thing is, we not gonna try and like punk them. You know what I mean? We just gonna play them hard.
Yeah.
Right. We not gonna bully them. We just gonna, you know what I mean? We gonna really, really like. It ain't gonna be like, oh, y'all about to blow us out. No, we about to be. Everything is gonna be mano a mano, a confrontation. Hold your man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so Jack ain't no punk. You know what I'm saying? KD is obviously, you know, one of the most prolific scorers of all time. But at the same time, like, you got to think twice about putting 40 on the dude that'll elbow you in your mouth. I mean, because he mad you scoring 40. You know what I mean? And so, like, you know, like Kobe, yeah, it's just like Jack ain't folded. Kobe, you know, like he living for them moments. You know what I'm saying? But I think, you know, I would say seven. I think that team was dope.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at, like, their first seven, I think we were more athletic, scrappier, and we could actually match up with them. And so when you start looking at matchups on the offensive side, like I said, they're great team defensive. They're great team defense. So team, and so we would have some issues just trying to figure out where the mismatches were, but we were more off pick and roll and ISO oriented, yeah. Right? So, you know, I like Al Harrington, you know, with Draymond Green guarding Al Harrington one-on-one, you know what I mean? I like myself posting up anybody on that team, you know what I mean? Like we could post too, so. It would be interesting, dude. It would be a hell of a game. It would be a hell of a series. Like, but we ain't folding. Like, that is, we don't give a shit. We not folding. You say what you want. You say, I know I'm going to get mine for sure. For sure. You can mark me in for at least a dub five is something. Monte, you can mark Monte in. You know what I mean? You got me, Monte, Stack, Al, Jay Rich. That's a lot of versatility, you know what I mean? And Jay Rich is the same size as Draymond Green.
True.
Steven Jackson is the same size as Draymond Green. Al Harrington is bigger than Draymond Green, but moved like Draymond Green, you know what I mean?
No, for sure. For sure. Yeah, that would have been a fade. I'd love to see that for sure.
We'll do it. Y'all want to do it? Set it up. I get in shape. Run it. Run it for a 10-day. if we win, we get a 10-day. The whole squad. run it.
So Draymond Green recently came out and said he is the best defender of all time. How do you feel about those comments? And what would you rank him as far as best defenders of all time?
Yeah, I think, he not supposed to say he not. You know what I mean? So I think that, you know, Draymond Green is playing right now, right? And the things that he's doing, right, is, you know, he has the accolades. He has the stats to back it up. You know what I mean? He got the mouth to back it up. He got the game to back it up. So, you know, in no way, shape, or form would he say that he's second. As far as ranking him defensively, I think, you know, in his era, he is one of the primary guys in his era. All time, no, I don't think so. You know what I mean? It's just like when you start talking about like all time, bro, it's like a lot of it ain't no stats for that. You know what I'm saying? It ain't no stats for that. You gotta really say, like, yo, can if you're the greatest defender all time, you're 6'8". Would you have been able to stop Tim Duncan? Would you have been able to stop Dirk Nowitzki? Would you have been able to stop Tracy McGrady? Would you have been able to stop Jordan? You know what I mean? It's like the greatest defender of all time, bro. That's a lot. But I like Draymond Green because he be putting a lot on it. You know what I mean? It's like he make bold statements for himself. This ain't for nobody else but for him. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as far as ranking him, I just think he's one of the best in his eras. Can Draymond Green guard me? Absolutely not. I play him for a 10-day too. But I beat him for sure. And he couldn't stop me in the summer league like at UCLA 2 years ago. He got mad at me. So he can't be the great. Huh?
He got mad at you?
Yeah, and I was locking him up. I was saying I was a baby Draymond. He kept calling fouls, but he couldn't score on me. You know what I mean?
And you said you
tried to post me up, dog. You tried to post me up. And I'm going, I'm baby Draymond. He was getting pissed. So I know what he's saying. You know what I mean? Like, I know what he's saying. He got to have that confidence, and I love him for it. And I just think all time he's going to be go down as one of the greatest in his era. And so, you know, like, he's not supposed to say nothing else while he's playing that he's second to anybody. So, you know, just – he just got to keep proving people wrong and just keep doing what he's doing. But his legacy is definitely there.
Nice.
But he cannot guard me. No, not even right now, bro.
Not right now?
I'll post Draymond Green up.
What you coming in right now? You about what, 230, 240?
Ooh, yeah, I'm about 230.
230?
So you take I mean, look, I knock off 10, I'm playing weight.
Okay.
I mean, overweight playing weight.
Overweight playing weight. Get it done weight.
Yeah, hey, bro, 10 minutes a game weight. You feel me? I got you. Third string point guard weight, you know?
How you get right now in 10 minutes?
Huh?
How many points do you get right now in today's NBA in 10 minutes?
I'd be good for about 6-4. 6-4?
That's
yeah.
Two threes and some
10 minutes? Yeah, 10 minutes, about 6-4.
Okay. How many fouls?
I'm getting layups.
Oh, you getting layups?
I'm getting layups, bro. These are like, duh, they're getting to the front of the rim and just throwing it out to the line. I'm going to take them twos. You know, I like me some twos. Take me some twos.
Right.
6-4, that's easy. If I'm with the Warriors, that's easy.
Facts. How they spread the offense and move the ball.
Come on. Four assists ain't nothing in this day and age.
Oh, yeah. You get that in the first few minutes you get in the game.
Man, either you start the game with that just to get warmed up.
All right. That's how I used to be with rebounds. Udonis Haslam used to be so mad at me. I used to say, I'm getting the first four rebounds of the game, period.
And then you can have a rest.
I'm good. I'll need more for my
for your average dog.
You used to be like, hey, man, you need to stay your butt around the perimeter. This is my job. But, bro, man, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you, you know, sitting on here telling us some dope stories, man. Thank you to the LA legend, the Warriors legend, Bay Area legend, my boy. Appreciate you.
Love, Brody. Keep doing it. I see you killing it, man. Yes, sir. Good for TV. Warriors, get this man a pay raise.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.